Good morning. Shall we pray together? Father God, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you would open our ears and our hearts to hear what you might say to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The promise that something offers you can be very different from the reality. I remember the easy assembly lawnmower my parents bought that came flat in a box. My brother and my mum sat on the hall floor surrounded by parts. It took them hours to put together, and the first time it was used, the wheel fell off. Or that hotel room that promises a sea view, but only if you stand on tiptoe in a specific place on the balcony. Maybe you've had a similar experience in matters of faith. You believe God listens to your prayers, yet much of the time they seem to echo around the room. God promises that his presence will go with us, but often we are more aware of his absence. Perhaps deep down there is some disappointment in you that trying to live as a Christian has been a struggle, and that although you started out well, you're not always sure that the full life God promised has actually come to much. Well, if you find yourself in any of this, Psalm 89 is for you. This week and next week, we're concluding our series on the life of David by looking at a couple of other passages that speak of his life and legacy. Now, Psalm 89 is attributed to Ethan, and he was likely to have been a director of music in David's day. Because the disaster that led to this psalm being written took place about 400 years after Ethan's lifetime, it's probably the case that it was the product of the choir that bore Ethan's name. So I thought it would be like a choir named the Nick Cope Choir, still going strong in 400 years' time and still producing new pieces, which, come to think of it, is probably quite likely. So please keep your Bibles open at this psalm, because our first stop is to look at the truth of the promise that is celebrated here. The first two sections that Bertram read to us bring with them echoes of earlier events in the life of David that we've looked at in this sermon series. The psalm begins with lovely words of praise. The psalmist praises God's love and faithfulness, love that stands firm forever, faithfulness that has been established in heaven itself. These qualities reflect God's relationship with his people as a God whose love for us will never grow cold, and who can be trusted to keep his promises and do what he has said he will do. These are the facts. And the psalmist has a particular covenant in mind, the one God made with David, swearing to him that his throne would stand firm through all generations. In 2 Samuel, we've seen how Nathan the prophet brought God's word to David that his house and his kingdom would last forever. And forever crops up in those first four verses of this psalm. His love stands firm forever. David's line is established forever. God is sovereign. He is sure and steadfast. We can be confident of that. His promise holds fast. And then from verse 19 onwards, we have God's words to Israel about his relationship with David. And verse 20, the words remind us of the prophet Samuel's anointing of David as a young man to one day be king. David being king was God's initiative. He wasn't a self-made king. It was God's idea from the beginning, as God called Samuel to anoint him. And then look from verse 21 onwards at the promises to David from God, which in turn were promises to the people of Israel. God would sustain him and strengthen him. He would deal with his enemies. They would be crushed. David would not have to pay tribute to or be oppressed by anyone. God's faithful love would be with him. And in serving Yahweh, his horn or his strength would be exalted. And then that promise again that God would love him forever, keep the covenant forever, and establish his line and his throne forever. And the next bit that we didn't read says, God says that David's throne was as established as the sun and the moon are in the sky. What amazing words of power and protection for the people of Israel. But note that although God is the one who's done all this, there's also a relationship between God and David. For bang in the middle of the psalm, in verse 26, God says, "The king will call out to me, 'You are my father, my God, the rock, my saviour.'" The king binds himself to God in relationship as his son, and God appoints David as his firstborn, the greatest of all kings of the earth. There's a special relationship of father and son, formalized in a covenant relationship. There is fantastic poetry in this psalm as we see the character of God just shine forth his blessing on his king and his people, and the confidence for now and the future of God working his purposes out, and his love, kindness and faithfulness being constant and dependable. God has been at work in the past. He is with us now, and the future is safe in his hands. And this is the God that we follow. The promise of his love and his faithfulness that surround us every day. He is as a father to us, a rock. And I love that image of dependability. This is the truth of the promise for your life and for mine. And then, in verse 38, we go from the truth of the promise to the reality of the present. But I wonder if you've had the experience of being on the receiving end of feedback that starts out so well, it sounds like a compliment, yet you can tell that there's a but coming. I remember Beth saying to me when she was quite little, "Mummy, you look lovely, but I hate your top." And Tom and Beth had a primary school teacher who always used to say, "It's not a criticism, but..." And you knew that what was coming next was indeed going to feel like a criticism. And here in this one short word, but, we have the reality of the present breaking in. For the first 37 verses, the writer of the psalm has spoken with confidence of his God, the promises of that good and faithful God. And then there is a pause and a silence. But. And the whole psalm swings on the hinge of that word. The length of the celebration somehow seems to add to the impact of what follows. There's a massive turnaround. The reality of the present is something very different from the truth of the promise that the psalmist has been celebrating. The promises to the line of David have been undone. It's likely to have been the reign of Jehoiakim, who at the age of 18, after just 3 months on the throne, was taken into exile by the Babylonians. But whoever the king was, his city has been captured and his crown in the dust. Look at the contrast of verse 23 and verse 42. We go from God crushing the king's foes before him to God exalting the right hand of the king's enemies. And the psalmist is clear where the blame lies. "But you," he says to God, "you have rejected your king. You have renounced the covenant. You have not supported the king in battle. You have cast his throne to the ground. You have covered him with shame." Wave after wave of accusation. "You who made all these promises about David's dynasty, you have now broken your word. Where now, O Lord, is your former great love and your faithfulness that you swore to David? Where is it all now, Lord?" In verse 49. And then the psalmist turns to urgent prayer. "How long, Lord, will you hide yourself forever? How long is a phrase used in a number of Psalms? It's about the one suffering, having been in pain a long time and can't see an end to it. Enough is enough, Lord. And he prays, please remember, Lord. Remember how short our time on this earth is, verse 47. Remember your love and your faithfulness, verse 49. And remember what your enemies have done and how they have mocked the one you have chosen, verse 50. Remember where you promised the story would end. Maybe you are like the psalmist, perhaps because of something specific that's happened, or it might be a feeling that's crept up on you over time. Lord, I'm praying hard for my work and my family situation to change, but you don't seem to be answering. Lord, you've promised that you are with me, but you haven't given me any sense of peace. If that's you, Psalm 89 would teach us to pray our complaints, pray the reality of the present. There is no need to be British or polite in your prayers. Tell it to God how it is. How long, Lord? Where are you, Lord? Remember, Lord. Don't deny what you're feeling and where you feel God is to blame. It's painful praying, but it's helpful praying. But remember too the truth of God's promises. The only way sometimes to cope with the reality of our present experience is to hold on to God's promises and what we know to be true of God's character. Keep on doing what you know you need to do, praying, listening, waiting, being still before God. You don't understand what he may be doing, but you know he is still working out his plans for your life. And as the Psalms were prayed together, so we may need to pray together in this way. And of course we know that the desperation of Psalm 89 was not the end of the story. In human terms, the Davidic dynasty came to an end. But the faithful did not give up on God, and they saw the meaning in the prophets who spoke of a future Davidic Messiah. But it remained a question that was unanswered until the time of the New Testament, when the words of our gospel reading were spoken to Mary. You will give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. We have Jesus, who is the fulfillment of all God's promises and who knows the reality of what it is to live a human life. And finally, there's verse 52, right at the end. The Psalms are divided up into five books, and this verse marks the end of the third book of the Psalms, rather than the end of Psalm 89. But perhaps these final words of praise hold the whole story together. At times we live, don't we, with a tension like the psalmist, the truth of the promises of God, but the reality of our present experience. We come to him without pretending, and we praise him nevertheless. As the Message version translates verse 52, blessed be God forever and always. Yes, oh yes. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the truth of your promises. Help us to hold on to them in the reality of our present. And we thank you for your love and your faithfulness. Amen.